Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of the MechEd Podcast. As always, I'm your host Sam, and I really apologize about the long time that I was away. This school has started for me, and the very beginning was very busy with a couple of homework assignments, extracurricular activities, this all type of stuff. But I'm back, and so yeah. Another thing to note is that MechEdGround.com is down. MechEdGround.com, if you didn't know, hosted pretty much every single technical readout with full stats, so it was a great use for people who don't have all the TROs or the legal team of WizKid finally got to it or what, because it's not often that Baltic sites go down that long. But onwards to the show. This week's Mech of the Week is a lot of people's favorites. Is been around for a very long time, not the original 14, but the original after that. And it is the Vindicator. And this is a design that I never gave much thought since I started reading the Warrior series of books, which is a pretty good series, which is the appearance of Davians against the Capellans. And so I became a Davianist, as you can tell. But after a review came out for it on the official forums, I gave it a try in Megamech and found it to be a resilient design. And I really should have paid more attention to it because I didn't really give it much thought. So what I initially thought for the base model is that it really was lacking close-range firepower, and I believe the fluff, pretty much. And all the variants played on this are played on the standard Baltic map in Megamech versus a Shadowhawk. And the first one is first variant is the V&D-1R, the classic. A little weak at close range, in fact, it only has a medium laser and a small laser in close range. If you play it right, you don't have to worry about it. It's nigh impossible to get a piloting skill roll. You have to get lucky with the PPC, the LRM-5, well, the PPC hit, the medium laser hit, and the LRM-5 hit all for it to work. But that's not bad. The Shadowhawk can't do it at all, so that's better. It may be a little bit slower than the 55-ton Trio, 464 if you didn't know, and the 55-ton Trio go 585. But its jump jets and solid armor more than make up for it. It has a lot of heat sinks, 16 to be exact, that's more than a lot of heavies and assaults. So heat problems aren't really too much of an issue. It's a solid workhorse design. If you have never tried it before, you should. I'm definitely going to use this thing much more often now. And how do you win with the V&D-1R? You stay at range, just walking slowly, you know, pounding away to PPC and LRM-5. Just continue slow, you know, almost like a moving wall technique. And only coming close when absolutely necessary. Kind of like the archer. You know, I always say, you know, don't close in an archer because you'll have too many lasers. Kind of like that. And how do you be a Vindicator? You got to close early, preferably with a mech with a good close range weapon, say a Hunchback. Not possible, if you got going from long range, it will cause major damage before you put it down. It can fight like it's 10 tons heavier, it's a 45 ton or so. It can stand toe-to-toe with a Shadowhawk, that's saying something. Well, kind of. The next variant, which is not really well-liked, is the V&D-1AA. It trades half of the original's armor, which was 9 tons, to up the speed to 585. The loss of armor is not worth extra speed, in my opinion. Now, it only has a measly 72 points of armor. Yikes. Still, it could make an okay lower-end medium mech hunter, say the Clint or Cicada, so it has about the same armor and much better firepower. But it cannot go toe-to-toe with anything bigger than, say, 40 to 45 tons. And something weird happened after during both these battles. They face a regular, classic Shadowhawk. Both times, my mech had been killed by a shot to the head. Oh well. Onward to level 2, and the first level 2 design is the V&D-3L. And this level 2 variant has an ERPPC, case, a medium pulse laser, and 15 double heat sinks. It also has the LRM-5 and no XL, so it's definitely a upgrade, a field upgrade. And this is a case of early 3050s design. They didn't really know what they were doing, you know, just ends up with 15 double heat sinks. It's never going to need it. Need a couple engine hits, infernos, but it's still a good design. If you like cool running mechs, this is it. No XL, no Endo, no Ferrofibros. The range loss of the Mium Laser to the Mium Pulse Laser can be missed at times, but overall it's worth it. Although it doesn't have the firepower of today's XL engine machines, it is a good backbone mech. And finally, a design that actually won. It beat a 3050s era Shadowhawk, I believe it was the 5M. Next up is the stealth armored version, the V&D-4L. This thing has a 585 movement curve, courtesy of an XL, so I'm not always a big fan of XLs, but sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, just depends on the mech. It mounts an ER PPC, an LRM5, a Mium Pulse Laser, and an ER Medium. Design does run hot with the armor on, so you should only really use the armor at long range. And how do you win? You don't have to stay at range alone with this one, but it does have an XL, so be wary. So keep moving. And how do you beat it? Design is good at any range, but since its self-armor is useless at close range, let's go close range. And the last one, the newest one, which has a lot of, it's a weird one. This design is more like the original, because it's 464, excuse me, a standard engine, and has a PPC, an ER PPC, but similar stuff there. This design mounts TSM and a sword. TSM, I can understand. Sword, a little wacky. I can understand since it's Chinese, you know, their symbols, the sword, you know, the capellans, so kinda. As well as two ER mediums, a medium pulse laser, a small pulse laser, and regular small laser. So for a couple rounds, I was able to keep up the 9 heat scale, but if any of the smaller weapons go out, you can keep that without the ER PPC, but if any of the small weapons go out, you're screwed. I don't really like this variant, but you might. It just doesn't feel like a Vindicator. Vindicator just, I don't know, just feels too much like it's the tie to saying, not like a Vindicator. And this one got hit in the cockpit too. Well, normally I do better with these, but not that time. And overall, the Vindicator is a good, dependable design. This newest variant is a bit odd. I hope to see his mech in the future. Interesting mod would be to put an MML, multiple, multiple rocket. You know what I mean? It can fire LRMs and SRMs. It's new technology, which is pretty nifty. And place the LRM5 rack, which would give much greater up close firepower. And that would be a nasty surprise indeed. I'm not sure if the weight works out, but that'd be a good modification for the 3L. Also drop a couple of heat sinks off of that. The vehicle of the week is considered one of the best, nigh the best, heavy tank of all time. Has barely any weaknesses. Expensive but deadly. Two of these can take out two Lancers of Stingers and still have room to go. And it is the Alicorn. I call it the Alicorn, but you could call it the Alicorn. And there are two versions of it. First up is the Mark 6. And it is the one with three Gauss rifles. Oh, that's a shard down your spine, didn't it? It's a 95 tonner, 3.5, tons of armor, three Gauss rifles. And how is that all possible? An XL engine. Battle value is 1372. Cost 16 million plus. But I believe that you get what you pay for. Because I used two to take out two Lances of Stingers. Ouch. Very heavy armor, good firepower, has an XL, but not much of disadvantages in mechs. There's no crits or anything like that. Versus a CRS-3M Cronus, battle value 1070, a mech. It lost, but only because the mech was at close range. And how do you beat it? It's getting close to where the Gauss rifle hits are too hard to get. How do you win with it? Stay away and blast away. Couple of these guys are expensive, but they are worth it. And a newer variant, which is unfortunately one of those new weapons, put them on everything, like the heavy Gauss, well, anything, you know, new weapon technology syndrome, or no, new toy syndrome, excuse me, is the Mark 7. And it trades three Gauss rifles for two heavy Gauss rifles, but unfortunately no turret. Versus the Cronus, it wasn't very effective, because units can simply get around the big guns. They do hit, it's great, it's good for close range, but the lack of a turret really does hurt it. Bested static positions, the guys have to go in the way, and you're right in their way. Overall, the Alicorn series have been nearly undisputed best tank, the Mark 6, but the second design does not follow in the first's greatness. A good family, and I cannot wait to see what's next. An interesting variance that you could do for the Mark 6 is to take off a Gauss rifle and put an autocannon. So they think they're gonna be hit by three Gauss rifles, and so oh, I'm getting close, then bam, 120 mm goodness. Now to design concept of the week, cheap but effective. This is helping you discover how to make a mech cheap but effective. More cheap but effective, I turned out, but. And first thing, you gotta take off your. This is for mercenaries who wanna make a mech that's as cheap as they can get it. Wanna know all the ways to get the most money out of their mech. First thing is, take off the list is XL engines. With them, a 50 tonner with an XL costs as much as a 100 tonner without one. That's just a bit wrong, I'm sorry. It just feels wrong to me. Another thing is using regular autocannons over the other advanced designs can save up to 300,000 C bills. That can add up. And another thing that can help you squeeze out some money is that an ER small costs the same amount as a regular one, says new tech manual. Pulse lasers also cost less than ERs. So that's another way you can use save money. It doesn't save wage, but it saves money. Streak SRM systems cost much less than SRM systems with Artemis, because Artemis each one is 100,000 C bills. So that's a bit expensive when Streak only adds, I don't know, maybe 50% to the base SRM cost. And Indosteel is cheaper overall for lighter units because it's the amount per ton is less, because ferrofibrous armor. It's like 20,000 per ton of armor, and so if you have 19.5 tons of armor, that's quite a bit. But a light mech that doesn't carry much armor should use ferro or light ferrofibrous armor because it costs less, because it's only, say, 20,000 or so. If you're really a penny pincher, don't have hands or lower arms, that can save you up to 21,000 C bills. A small cockpit will also save you about that much. And a more in-depth analysis of this will be on the blog at a later time, say showing two mechs and showing how you can save costs and show the cost differences or something like that. And the Solaris 7 news report and commercial break is taking a break this week. If you have any news reports or commercials slash ideas for them, please send them in. And this is a new segment that I think is pretty interesting, is I recently read a thing online on the official forums about what Navy vessels. They've been long disregarded and rarely used, but with the new super ships coming to play, you know, the ones, the Jormungand, the Argo, all those, you know, their support vehicle is neckily disadvantaged, because even with a BAR of 10, they can still get critted. So they're not great, but for some reason, I happen to like Wet Navy. I'm not sure why. So I'd like to use more, but I wish I had more than three cannon vehicles to use it, really. And I have a couple questions. Have you ever used Wet Navy? Have a funny slash amazing slash any stories about Wet Navy? Send them in. I'd love, love, love to hear them. And as always, I'm taking suggestions for Mech of the Week and Vehicle of the Week, and any suggestions at all. If you like the show, tell a friend. And check out the blogs. There's always new stuff on there. I'm really trying to get to be a really neat place with a lot of different things on it. I always love getting emails, so send me some emails. And may all your hits be crits. Bye, everybody.